Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Wednesday, the 11th of December, 2024. By the way, I've started posting these notes with my opinion on the companies I cover on the chat forum there for members of my club. So I'm not going to be giving too many opinions on the podcast. If you want to see that, of course, you can become a member. And by the way, if you do give me a positive rating and review for the book, if you buy the book, there's 50% off the Share Pickers Investment Club. There's only available to 100 people. This is coming down. In fact, I've got to do a recount because many people have joined recently. I've got a recount. So there's only 100 spaces left. Now, there's a bit of a problem because many people have ordered the book and obviously they can't review it until they receive it. And Amazon have run out of stock. They underbought, essentially. Didn't realise the demand was going to happen. So there are other platforms you can buy the book on, by the way. Go to sharepickers.com. Just scroll to the top there and click on the book. That's including Harriman House, the publisher. But there's W.H. Smith, all those people. In fact, let's look at the outlets here you can buy the book at. Because Amazon now don't deliver or won't deliver before Christmas. There's Harriman House, there's Waterstones, WH Smith, bookshop.org. You can give them all those outlets, okay? And hopefully they will deliver before Christmas. Let's have a look at the markets quickly. And I don't know why I say quickly. But it's not going to be too quickly. It's quite slowly. FTSE 100 up a tenth of 1% to 8,290. The FTSE 250 down. A tenth of 1% at 20,943. FTSE small cap, it's down a tenth of 1% to 6,918. The AIM All Share, it's up a smidge. It's up a tenth of 1% to 738. Like I said, it needs to get above that previous high we're at 742, I think, to see really a break of a downtrend that's happened recently in the last few months. Euro, this is quite interesting. The pound versus the euro. And I think it's the strongest it's been. Let's look. Not seen since, biggest surge since Brexit. And we are now at pretty much a, where is it? I'm scrolling back. Let's back to, March 2022. That's where we're at the high. And £1 buys you €1.21, or nearly 22. What about dollar here? Against dollar, a pound would buy you $1.27. Looking at Bitcoin, with Bitcoin, it's up a smidge, 2%. It's not a lot for Bitcoin. But it's at 19,421. Really needs to get above that sort of previous high of 101,000. If it does, it's probably going higher. It is just above that 20-day moving average now. What else have we got? Commodities-wise, Brent crude, it's at $73, so up a bit today, up 1% today pretty much, $73.32 a barrel. What else was there? There's gold. Where is gold? There we are. It's up to, a bit of a rally here. The last 4 days in the bounce gold, $2,727 an ounce. And copper is down a tenth of 1%. Just really flatlining really at the moment, but it's had a good few days rallying here, so at $9,400 a ton. Anything else I haven't mentioned there? Are you interested in the 10-year bond yield? Well, it's 4.345%. It's had 3 days of rising, but it's off the high. I mean, the yield did hit pretty much 4.6 back in November after the budget there, but it's come off down to 4.2 and it's bounced a little bit. But nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about there. Okay. By the way, if you're wondering what this podcast is, I cover the macro news relevant to the UK and monitor microcap stocks to see if they're good enough to be added to the microcap league. These are companies sub 100 million, well, enterprise value essentially, but they've got to have revenue, they've got to be commercial. Why is that important? Because there are plenty of companies out there will pop and drop, okay, on ideas, on hope, hype, potential, but there's many of these companies, I talk about this in the book, the amount of times I've did very well in these kind of companies when interest rates are low because it's all about the story. But they can pop, they can drop. But very few of these companies ever get to commercialization, which is when real value generation happens over many years. I'm not talking about over weeks or months, it just pops and drops. And it's about rising, sustainable rise in the share price over many years. That's driven by revenue and profit growth. And you know, if they're at good valuations, that is. So I look at companies that are generating revenue because they are commercial, and that's a little bit less risky. And then analyze them in regards to their growth, value, health, efficiency, momentum, potential, and see if they're good enough to be on that top board there. There's only 36 companies on that list, and they're ranked in order in according to these metrics. Okay, let's look at some macro news. Three stories here. Not a lot out, really. This is a big one, though. I mean, what really moves the markets, you know, are central banks, you know, apart from earnings of companies. But the Bank of England set to stay in the central bank slow lane and keep rates on hold. Now, this is next week, the decision is, of course, as it moves more slowly to cutting borrowing costs than central banks in Europe and the US. The BOE remains on alert about price pressures in Britain's jobs markets that have subsided more clearly elsewhere. I can't see what... I honestly think, and I keep saying this, are they looking at the data? But it seems to me they're looking at the data in the rearview mirror with really thick lens glasses on. Because you can see the weakness in jobs vacancies. Yesterday I covered this. Indeed, the job recruitment agency. Jobs recruitment is dropping at the fastest rate of any developed country. What does that mean? It means reduced wage pressure. Companies aren't taking people on. There's not this competition for jobs. That means, you know, there won't be wage increases, apart from public sector, because of Rachel Reeves giving all public sector employees a huge bump up. But that'll wash out. The new government's tax and spending plans have only added to the uncertain outlook for the inflation. Well done, Rachel Reeves, Keir Starmer. Investors see only a 1 in 10 chance the Bank of England cutting its bank rate from its current level of 4.75% on December the 19th. December 19th. Oh, yes, I've got someone coming about solar panels on that day. By contrast, by the way, do you know what? Last night, we got heating in our house. We've had a house renovation, and it's coming towards the end. Last week or maybe next week, a few bits and pieces need finishing off. But the plumbers came in, and literally, it was so nice to be warm in the house. Sorry, it just got me thinking about solar panels because I've got the electrician coming around on the 19th. where were we? Yeah. Oh, back to the Bank of England. By contrast, the central bank, European Bank, the US Federal Reserve, and the central banks of Canada, Switzerland, and Sweden are all expected to lower borrowing costs in the coming days. The Bank of England cut the base rate only twice from a 16-year peak, helping to make sterling the only currency from the group of 10 leading economies that have not fallen against the US dollar in 2024. Hang on a sec. Is the governor? The governor, I'm the governor, yeah. Oh, I'm the governor. I can never get his voice right. I never get it right anyway. But is he playing a clever game here? As we know, most commodities, most goods are denominated in the US dollar. If the pound remains strong, and the dollar gets weaker because interest rates coming down, that means there's less chance of inflation. Maybe he's playing a clever game here. I don't think he is. But that's what would happen. And that would then bake in the fact that we would have lower inflation. Imports would get cheaper. So we're importing deflation pretty much. Oh, is he clever than we think? I don't think he is. It's a cracking job, that, isn't it? Bank of England stuff. They basically have, you know, once a month, right? They sit round and say, what do you think? Up or down? Keep them hold? Hold? Up or down? Well, yeah, higher? Lower? Hold? Stay? Higher? Lower? Wouldn't it be excellent if that's the way they did it in the Bank of England? Literally, you know, Brucey play your cards right. And Andrew Bailey would be there with his cards. And you got, what, 10 MPC? I was in 9 MPC Monetary Policy Committee members. He said, right, here we go then. 4.75. What do you say? Higher? Lower? Stay? 2, 3, 7? Lower. Yeah, 2, stay. Oh, here we go. Well, I'll go cast a deciding vote. I'll take stay. Yes. All right. Didn't you do well? I'd love it. Because that's all they do. And then they do basically a PowerPoint presentation after every meeting. And he gets paid, what, £500,000 a year? Easy money, mate, isn't it, in the city? If you're the governor, you earn money, mate, yeah? I'm the central bank head governor, yeah? Sorry, I think I've had too many coffees today. Governor Andrew Bailey last week welcomed the recent slowdown in price growth, but said there was still a distance to travel, with inflation likely to hover above the Bank of England's 2% target until 2027. Just one final thing to say. You know, the central bank were going to reduce interest rates. Do you remember when we said I'm going to be a bit more aggressive? Oh, yeah. Do you like me aggressive? Been aggressive? Yeah. And then the budget came out and said, all right, we're going to have to pull back on that aggressiveness. God, my word. This is a big one. Car finance scandal could be as big as PPI, the city regulator says. Britain's car finance scandal could end up being as big as the payment protection insurance mis-selling saga, which cost UK banks, how much do you think it cost them? Do you remember PPI? You literally pick up your phone and you get these recorded messages all the time. Hello, you may have been mis-sold PPI. Shut up! Shut up! In fact, everyone I knew, I think I didn't, claimed on PPI. They reckon this is going to be as big. So if you've bought a car now, okay, on finance, and the car salesman didn't disclose the commission they're getting, you could be liable to claim. I can't think of what's... when you think about the ramifications of this, I don't know how fast it's going to go, because it obviously will affect lenders. But anyway, but they're saying the PPI scandal cost banks £50 billion. Now, the city regulator's top lawyer has admitted it could be as big as that, this car scandal thing. So, Stephen Bravina Roman. Oh, you can tell he's a city regulator, can't you? Stephen Bravina Roman, the Financial Conduct Authority's general counsel and executive director. That's a lofty title, isn't it? Hello, I'm Stephen. I'm the general counsel and executive director. It's two titles. He said in October that the shock court appeal in the Car Finance Commission arrangements vastly expanded the scope of potential consumer conversation. The landmark ruling determined that paying a secret commission to car dealers who had arranged the loans without disclosing some terms. Anyway, so it suggests that the resulting cost to lenders, including Lloyds, Santander UK and Close Brothers, could top Moody's estimate of £30 billion. I never short stocks, but surely those stocks there. If it's going to go 50, because it drags on. This time they should put an end date on it within 12 months, because it gets everyone down. The PPI scandal just went on for years. It's never ending. And finally, you want a tip? If you want a tip, listen closely. Buy coffee now. All right. Coffee prices surges to the highest on record. It's not too late, because a lot of the, you know, producers buy futures and they've locked in a price, but that'll change soon. So The price of coffee on international commodity markets has hit its highest level on record. So if you're a coffee freak, a bit like me, in fact, I'm going to take a sip now, sorry. On Tuesday, the price of Arabica beans, they account for the most global production, topped $3.44 a pound, having jumped by more than 80% this year. The cost of Robusta beans, meanwhile, hit a fresh high in September. It comes after coffee traders expect crops to shrink after the two world's largest producers. Okay, couple of points on offer. Who are the world's two largest producers of Arabica beans? Brazil, yes. I would never guess the second one. Vietnam. Yeah, Vietnam and Brazil. They were hit by bad weather, and the drink's popularity continues to grow. One expert told the BBC coffee brands were considering putting prices up in the new year. They're not going to consider, they're going to do it. So if you, you know, want to save money, just stockpile some coffee. That'll make the price go higher, right? Then you can sell your coffee on the black market. Yeah, the black coffee market. Yeah. So buy coffee. Buy. I think it'll go crazy if people start buying coffee now to lock in a cheap price. Of course, that'll suck up the supply. That is, you know, economics 101, isn't it? You've got a rising price anyway. Demand goes up. Supply is constrained. People start, you know, snaffling up supply. You literally have drug dealers selling coffee instead. Better margins. Okay, some micro news. Like I said, these are market caps below 100 million with revenue. Show the commercial. And I look at revenue, profit for tax, and cash. If those three are growing, then we've got something. So first one, Aferion. AFRN is the B2B video streaming solutions company, provides the following trading update for the year to the 30th of November. They've got a market cap of 4 million. So this is for the year. Revenue of $26 million. This includes second half revenue growth of 13% compared to H1 2024. Adjusted EBITDA. I do not adjusted EBITDA. I'm not a big fan of EBITDA. You start adjusting EBITDA. What is actual real number there? It could be anything. You know, adjusting it for that. Adjusting. I'm adjusting, by the way. But, you know, adjusting it all over the place. So it's a bit of a nonsense number. But when you start adjusting it, it's just ridiculously nonsense. They say adjusted EBITDA for financial year or H2, financial year 24, is supposed to be 2 million compared with an adjusted EBITDA loss of 2.4 million in the first half. Material reduction of $2.4 million in net debt to $12.5 million, down from 14.9. But this is a market cap of 4 million. They've got net debt of $12.5 million. Just looking back, I couldn't see any forecasts, but looking at interim results to the 31st of May, revenue was 12.14 million versus 23.34, so halved pretty much. But they are saying 26 million for the year, so they're showing an improvement there. Loss before tax for the half year, 10.9 million versus 8.6. Net debt is 14.9. So, you know, loss-making, debt big. Where is that? It may have rallied on a near-death miss. They are up 11% a day, but they did go up behind that. They went from, they closed yesterday at 3.34. They're at 3.6. They did jump to 6 today. Wow. I think it's a trading opportunity. It's very high risk. But when you get a company rallying that strongly, if they come out with some really good figures, I think it could rally. But it's, like I said, it's a worry, the debt there. But if they're turning around and starting to become profitable, not on an adjusted EBITDA level, then they start servicing that debt and maybe a recovery on. Because, you know, if they get a bit of a margin, then, you know, the top line is good. So they can get a bit of margin on that. Anyway, it's high risk. Next, Billington Holdings, Biln, this ticker, Biln, one of the UK's leading structural steel and construction safety solution specialists, is pleased to provide an update on current trading. I'm not joking. Last 2 days, I was looking at the share price. I get alerts on companies I'm looking at all the time. I thought, it's got to be time to buy into this, maybe. But that is not my bag. You've got to buy improving companies in momentum. But they came out with a trading update today. And continued strong delivery in the second half results in the group profit before tax for the year ended 31st December 2024 is expected to be ahead of current market expectations. It's very good. The group has a strong order book spanning multiple market sectors and has been successful in securing a number of significant good quality contracts for 2025 and into 2026, particularly in sectors that require more complex solutions such as energy from waste, high-tech manufacturing and data centres. Oh, that's interesting, data centres. Whilst remaining mindful of ongoing challenging marketing conditions, Billington continues to trade well and is confident of delivering upon its market expectations of 25. So market cap is 55 million. So they are expected to dip the revenues for the year. They did have a cracking 2023, where top line was 132.5. That's expected to dip to 125. And adjusted profit before tax is going to dip from 13.4 to 10.8. So the margins aren't huge here. But valuation is decent. You know, it's fine. Valuation's fine there. But like I said, you know, you've got to be expected to, you know, what's going to happen when they release that results? Many retail investors maybe not, you know, up on the forecast. So they're going to be dropping by, what, 8 million top line and 30% dip in the profit before tax. But then they expect to grow then in 2025 to 135 million and profit before tax of 9.5. In fact, profit before tax is going down. Also, the margins are getting worse in 2025. But nevertheless, they do pay a nice dividend, I think. The dividend yield, yeah, is showing about 5%. Okay, Audioboom, the leading global podcast company, is pleased to announce it has continued a strong momentum during the fourth quarter of 2024, and the board now expects that Audioboom will generate an increased adjusted EBITDA. They're saying adjusted EBITDA profit. It's an EBITDA profit, but is it a profit? It's profit, but not as we know it. Anyway, of at least $3.1 million, significantly surpassing the recently upgraded market expectation of 2.8. Significantly? What is significantly? Is it 10%? Greater than 10%? Is that what you're saying? Because that is like $300,000. It's not that significant, is it? No. They say the company continues to perform well. We anticipate revenue growth for 2025 will be at least in line with forecasted industry growth of 10%. They did say before they were beating industry growth. So now they're saying at least in line or 10% or under that. Importantly, however, Audioboom's higher quality revenue is expected to generate significantly higher adjusted EBITDA profit in 2025. Let's talk people. If you are going to be profitable before tax, please talk in regards to that rather than adjusted EBITDA, okay? Because that doesn't mean profitability. By the way, Billington's up 10% today, 466. Audioboom, where is that? It's up 7.86%, but it's rallied strongly. It's gone from like that's got to have a pullback. In fact, it did get to £3.80 today. Now it's at £3.63. But it's gone from like since November, £2.20 to £3.60. So 60 million market cap, pretty much. And the forecast for $73 million of revenue, up from 65. And they're saying adjusted profit, everything's adjusted, of 2.7 million for the year, up from a loss. Adjusted pre-tax loss of 800K. And then for 2025, $3.5 million adjusted pre-tax profit. Show a statutory, please. Anyway, revenue growth okay here. You know, forecast 12%, but it does moderate going in outer years to around about 10%. It'd be interesting to see what the actual profit is, not EBITDA. They're not cheap. I mean, you know, EV sales are okay, but if you look at EV EBIT, They're on about, 25 times maybe? So it's rallied strongly. I think, you know, if you like this company, I'd wait for a pullback because you are looking at an RSI here. In fact, this is fact. Their RSI, relative strength index, is 88, right? A company share price never sustains at 88. Never. It always has a pullback consolidation. So I wouldn't be, you know, too quick to jump into this one right yet. PCI Pal, PCIP, the global cloud provider of secure payment solutions for business communications, provides the following update ahead of the company's annual general meeting. They say the board is pleased to report continued positive trading momentum to date in financial year 25. Demand for the company's services remains strong with increasing sales pipeline and more global integrated partners than ever before. New business to the end of November 2024 is ahead of the same period in the prior year and in line with the board's projections for new business sales in the current financial year. So their market cap of 45 million. They weren't profitable in 2024. I also don't understand the valuation of this company, really, because they did top line revenue 18 million. That's expected to go up to 22.4. So what's that? 20% growth. Growth's okay, top line. But then adjusted profit for tax of 800K for 2025. And they're a 45 million market cap. And that's going to go down in 2026, forecast, unless they win some contracts. And yet the revenue growth is 10% from 25 to 26. So there isn't huge amount of growth there. Profit for tax, revenue growth dips in 2026, but it does improve from loss making in 24. So are they up today? Where are they? PCI Pal, PCI, non mover 63 pence. Not surprised, it's rallied. Sorry, the valuation is quite high. You know, it's there's not a huge amount of upside. Procook Group, Proc is ticker PROC, the UK's leading direct to consumer specialist kitchenware brand, today announces its interim results first half of the financial year 25. These are 28 weeks to 13th of October. So they've got a market cap of 37 million, revenue 28.3 million versus 26.3. So that's a 7.5% increase there. A loss before tax of 3.2 versus 3.2. So same. Cash and cash equivalents of 3 million versus 1.45, but their borrowings have gone up. So the net debt's increased to 4.27 million versus 3.17. So small revenue growth, they're loss-making, and this has not reduced despite the increased revenue. So they're, obviously the margins are suffering a little bit, and net debt has increased. So, you know, where are they? They're down. Yeah, it's rallied strongly recently, from 27 pence up to 40 pence, but it's now come back to 34 pence. And I think that 40 million market cap. Yeah, no, I didn't see any forecasts here, but not that impressed. RM Dot, a leading global education technology, digital learning and assessment solutions provider, is pleased to provide an update of the company's anticipated results for the year ended the 30th of November. They've got a market cap of 73 million. So say revenue from continuing operations, which now excludes the consortium business, is expected to be 5-6% lower. So 5-6% lower than in financial year 23. The company expects adjusted operating profit, 8.4 million in the range of 8.4 to 8.8, 5-10% ahead of market expectations, the adjusted EBITDA of 13 to 14 million. Net debt has finished the year better than market expectations, having operated within the company's EBITDA and hard liquidity banking covenants during the period. So I couldn't really get a forecast, but I did get some on TradingView here. But it looks like they're going to, 186 million total revenue. Thinking, oh, wow, that's quite big for 73 million market cap. But then you look at pre-tax income. Last year was minus 41 million. And I don't know what the forecasts are, but it's in minus 43. So there's a lot of adjustments here going on. So there's no revenue growth. Loss pretty much is increasing at a pre-tax level. Net debt is around about 66 million. So it's almost level with their market cap. There we are. So no healthy balance sheet there, but has that rallied? Who knows? Let's have a look. RM, it's up 10% and 98 pence today. It's quite high risk, isn't it? Next, Rua Life Sciences, the holding company of a group of medical device businesses focused on the exploitation of the world's leading long-term implantable biostable polymer, Elast Eon TM, announces unaudited interim results for 6 months ended the 30th of September. Market cap, 7 million. Revenue increased by 92% to 1.5. So these are interim results. So you think, okay, if they double that again, if they do it again, 3 million, two times sales. So it went from 1.5, you know, from about 800K last year. Now, they unusually, profit before tax of 631K versus a 1.3 million loss last year. So you think, okay, they don't toot themselves, but hang on, not on the EV level. Because their cash balances, net cash, they've got a little bit of debt, not a lot, net cash of 3.46 million. Half their market cap. They raised about about 4 million gross in December 2023. And I'm looking at waiting for broker updates here, forecast updates, because if they've made a profit for the half year, that's a good sign. But the broker has them in for a loss for the full year. So they're looking at a top line of 3.3 million revenue, up from 2.2. And they're going for adjusted loss before tax of 1.1, which is an improvement on the 2.1 loss. So they're still loss making the broker, but I've not seen a recent update since September on the broker notes. So you've got revenue growth of 50%, forecast for 2025. The growth for 2025 is 50%, and it's forecast again to grow for 2026 by 30%. So strong balance sheet, net cash of 3.4 on a market cap of 7 million. Have a look. It's actually down today. There we are, but it'd be nice to see some updated broker forecast on that. What's next? Anything else? One more. I do apologise. Strip Tinning Holdings, STG, a leading supplier of specialist connection systems to the automotive sector, is delighted to announce an £11.7 million increase in aggregate in the value of its contracted nominations. Consequently, the company's sales are expected to grow by 82% from the end of 2024 to the end of 2026. Further, the board remains confident the company will meet EBITDA market expectations for both 24-25, and revenue for 24 is expected to be 9 million. So they've got a market cap of 7 million, okay? Now, listen, 9 million forecast revenue, adjusted loss before tax of 3.7 million. Now, for 2025, revenue is expected to grow to 9.6, but adjusted profit before tax is also expected to grow to 4.1. Then in 2026, the revenue is going to grow quite nicely to 16.4, but there's still a loss before tax of 2.1. Only in 2027, which is far out, and the contracts maybe are quite long dated, maybe, but they're saying 27 million top line with adjusted profit before tax of 1.6. I didn't see what their cash is. They've got debt. So the debt here pretty much is showing. The debt will be growing, forecast to be net debt of 6.4 for 2024, 6 for 2025, and then go up to 9.3 for 2026, and 10.4 net debt. So there we are. So revenue's growing, but will that profit happen? It's a forecast a long way out, 2027. Who knows? It's hard to forecast that way far out. It's like the weather, you know. 7-day forecast, quite accurate. You start going 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It's hard to predict. Thanks for listening. So if you want to see my opinions on these companies, you can see the notes in the chat forum there. At the Investment Club, there's only 100 spots. Less than 100 spots. I will do a count up tomorrow to get 50% off. And you can check that out. Sharepickers.com and just scroll to the top there, the book. Thank you very much for listening. And like I say, if you have bought the book, much was appreciatus. And if you've read, posted a positive review, again, much was appreciatus. Speaking tomorrow, I've got a frog in my throat. That's pretty non-PC these days, isn't it?
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.